How you doing?
Good, we're recording.
Okay, excellent. Now, you wanted me to do my best at going over voltage and the like.
Yeah, the review couldn't kill me. I'm just working with these picture descriptions, and I'm like, oh, I don't remember this very well, so I should look at it.
fair enough. All right. When you're looking at electricity, there are essentially two or three quantities that you need to look at. Now, we all know that when, obviously, there are two types of electricity. There's alternating current, and there's direct current.
Right.
Alternating current is electricity that flows in one direction, it then reverses its direction and flows in another direction, back the other way.
Uh-huh.
And it does this...
That's what we get out of our walls.
That's what comes out of the wall socket. So you end up getting... And that does that at 50 times a second or 60 times a second, depending on whose power system you're using. Australia's 50, you guys are 60. And essentially what happens to generate power using kinetic energy, as in a generator, you spin a coil in a magnetic field, and that induces electricity to flow in the circuit. So as the coil spins, it sends the electricity one way and then it sends it the other. Now, the power that you generate through that is AC, alternating current.
Okay.
This is a bit sort of simplistic, but we might as well do the whole thing while we're here and to the best of our ability. Now, if you take a battery or a lemon with a bit of zinc and copper stuck in it, that is going to generate direct current. And direct current, is direct from positive to negative or negative to positive? Or does it depend who you ask? Right. Okay, so it goes one way, basically. It goes either... Yeah, it's how they look at it. We're talking about electricity because Grace wanted to review it and it would do as a good recording to go up on the site. Okay, if you're in electronics, it goes from negative to positive. If you're an electrician, it goes from positive to negative. But it doesn't really.
Okay.
But it doesn't. It doesn't really matter which way it goes. Yeah. So you don't need to know for our course as to which way it goes. But suffice it to say, it goes in one direction, and if everything's going right, it should continue to go in one direction all of the time.
Okay.
So generally, we say it goes from negative to positive.
Gotcha.
It's easier to think about it that way and stuff. Okay. And DC comes from solar cells, batteries, and I think that's where it comes from, solar cells and batteries.
Yeah, I think you're right. I did study this once.
are there DC generators, are there? Oh, okay, because I thought most... Yeah, I thought
your
most...
Your cigarette lighter is DC.
Yeah. Okay, well, apparently you can have DC generators, but they're not very efficient. So, cigarette lighter, well, that comes off your car battery. So that's DC.
Right, so...
Big battery. Okay.
Okay.
So you've got voltage, which is what we call electromotive force, and it is the force that pushes the electrons through the circuit, or at least this is how I had it explained to me.
Okay.
So if you want to take a really rough analogy, it's water pressure. How much... What's a load of crud? That analogy or what you're doing? What he's doing, I think. So, the electromotive force is the voltage, and the current is how many electrons you've got past a given point in a particular time period.
Okay? So, if we're playing with your analogy, it is that the voltage is how hard the water comes, and the current is how much water comes.
That's right. So, if you have a high-powered water pistol, you can ouch people. But then if you have a high-powered fire hose, you can knock people over because you've actually got more water travelling. Voltage is... I was just about to say voltage is measured in volts. Voltage is also written as E. And
okay.
Yeah, E for
In the notes, it's only written as V, so...
It's also written as E for electromotive force, which is the force that pushes the electrons. Okay, and current is measured in amps, or amperes. Okay?
Okay.
Now, there are very interesting relationships here. You can have lots of volts and not very much current... And you can get sparks to jump big long distances. Or you can have lots of current and not much voltage. Depending on how you're wiring things up and what you want it for.
Okay.
When you build an electrical circuit, as you use components and things, in theory you should start off with all the volts at the start and end up with no volts at the end. If you have too many volts, you will bang things. If you have too much current, generally speaking, a device will only draw what it needs unless it's badly designed, and then you'll bang it.
Okay.
So, generally speaking, it's okay to buy a 1,000 milliamp plug pack for something that only wants 200 milliamps, as long as you've got the voltage right.
Oh, all right. I thought you had to give voltage and current right, so...
Generally speaking, no, you just have to get the... Well, this is with DC anyway, you just have to get the voltage right, and it'll tend to draw what it wants unless it's badly designed.
Alright.
The other thing you have to be aware of is resistance, which is measured in ohms. Oh, and current is written as I think. Why is current written as I? Yes. It stands for amps. I is for amp. Jolly good. It's out of phase with voltage, yep. Okay. Right. Okay, well, we won't even talk about that. I is the imaginary thing, and it's a vector, and you do that in four-unit maths. Yeah. Yeah, so... Okay, so current is I, and R is resistance. Okay? What is Z? That's impedance, isn't it? Ah. It is. And we don't talk about impedance because that's in AC, and you have to do, like, power stuff. To do that, so that's all good. I'm trying to keep this simple. We're putting this up on the website. Our students will have a cow if I get too complicated. Yeah, you want to do vector matrices, don't you, Grace? You just love that. It's okay. You can say no.
Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I guess I muted myself. I was just going to say no, I didn't, because I'm terrible at math, so
okay, no,
we'll skip that part.
Okay. Now, the other thing you should be aware of is that there are a number of devices that we use in electrical circuits which are worth knowing about. There's a resistor, and that resists the amount of current flowing. Okay? And you want to do that because if you put too much current into a device that doesn't require it, you will burn it out.
So that's on the device end, not on the AC adapter end.
This is inside, like, radios and clocks and all sorts of things. These are the components that make up the circuit. So you've got resistors that resist the flow of current. Think of them as taps that are half open, if you're going with the water analogy. You've got capacitors, which can store and release electricity. And they are used for smoothing out ripples in power supplies and tuning things and a few other nifty things that you can use them for. And then you've got diodes, which allow electricity to only flow one way.
So that's for our DC, getting our AC into the DC current, huh?
No. You need more than a diode to rectify DC. There are two ways to turn AC into DC. There's two common circuits that are used. There's what we call a half-wave rectifier and a full-wave rectifier. And a half-wave rectifier has, let me see if I get this right, a diode and a capacitor. And the diode sets the current to flow in one direction. So what you end up with is current that flows in one direction, but it flicks on and off because of the AC. And then you have a capacitor to smooth out the ripples in the current flow.
Mm.
A full-wave rectifier has two or four diodes in a full-wave rectifier. Four. And two in each direction, or... And Ian's just being alerted about something. So we won't go into that too much because it's a bit complex, but a full-wave rectifier is more efficient than a half-wave rectifier.
All right, so what's in most devices?
Depends how expensive it is.
Okay.
Generally, if they can get away with half-wave rectifiers, they will.
All right.
Then there's transistors. Okay. So, and transistors are three-legged things that use semiconductors, and they use semiconductors to switch current on and off. That's better.
What's going on?
He's on speakerphone with his conference, so he's just turned the server off.
Oh, okay.
With with a transistor, which is what makes up integrated circuits, you've actually got three wires. One's a collector, one is a base, and one is a emitter. If you put a circuit between the collector and the emitter, which are the outside wires, nothing will flow until you put a voltage on the base, which allows you to actually toggle the voltage on the base and switch a bigger current load on and off. Which is not really relevant to ITE1, but there you go. I'm going through components, so there you go.
All right.
Now, capacitors, as I said, are used for storing and releasing energy. And they basically have two plates separated by an insulating material called a dielectric. And basically, when you charge up a capacitor, all of the electrons charge up on one plate. And then if you connect a load across the capacitor, it will actually empty out the current that it's stored up. And the best example of a variable capacitor would be the tuning dial in your average radio, unless it's digital.
Okay, so how does that work?
Well, when you turn the tuning dial, it changes the capacitance, which then changes what the radio is tuned into.
Okay.
Now, what else do I have to talk about? Impedance is what we call AC resistance, and it's all very complicated because you've got to work on different... See, electricity doesn't like flowing through things. That's why there's resistance. Mm-hmm. And the resistance is used in appliances such as electric heaters, kettles, jugs, and things like that.
All right, so to make physical heat energy.
Yeah, to convert electricity into heat, you run it through a resistive current path, and the circuit that it runs through heats up, for example, the element, and that boils your water, and you can make yourself a cup of coffee.
All right.
What else do I need to tell you? That's probably about it, actually. But that's, yeah, so your volts... Oh, yes, the formulas. A watt, which is also a joule per second, if you know what joules are, they're in physics, they're how much energy you're using up, is voltage times current.
Okay.
So to have power, you must have voltage and current.
Right, so you got to have the water flowing through... And you have to have pressure to make the water flow through. Gotcha.
That's right. That's right. If you have pressure and no water, or water and no pressure, not much is going to happen. So if you are drawing, if you have a circuit that is 110 volts at 1 amp, you are drawing 110 watts.
Okay.
If you are drawing 110 volts at 2 amps, you are drawing 220 watts.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately. there is sort of approximate. Okay, and your power company measures power in kilowatt hours, which is how many kilowatts you use per hour.
All right.
So if you draw 1,000 watts for an hour, you've used up 1 kilowatt hour of power. If you draw 2,000 watts for half an hour, you've still used up 1 kilowatt hour.
Right. Because it's the same amount.
That's right. So if you draw 100, if you draw 100 watts for 10 hours, you'll still use up 1 kilowatt hour.
Okay.
Does it seem like a good enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. It makes a lot more sense.
Okay, that's good. If it doesn't, I mean, we can go into anything further, but we don't really do a basic overview of electricity as mm-hmm. such.
Well, now you do.
it probably is worth mentioning that in computer land, we tend to take wall socket power, say 110 volts at 60 hertz or 220, 240 volts at 50 hertz, and we run it through a power supply, which uses a switch mode circuit, which I won't talk about, but basically it chops the power up and feeds it through some capacitors and it's all good. And you end up with voltages of plus 5, plus 12, plus 3.3, and minus 3.3, and that's what runs your computer.
Mm-hmm. And you have to calculate out how many watts are taken up by each device to calculate the amount of power supply you want.
That's right. Although, generally speaking, I would be telling people these days to put in a 400-watt power supply at a start, and if it doesn't cope, put in a bigger one.
Yeah, that's about it.
Alrighty. So I think we'll hang that one up there, and we should be done.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.